Let's turn in God's Word to Luke's Gospel in chapter 4. In Luke's Gospel in chapter 4. And we'll be reading in Luke 4, verses 14 through 30. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 30. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Our gracious Father, we give you praise. Again, we're thankful that you speak to us, that you have not removed your Word from us as you did in the times of the prophets at the end, as they were done speaking and then you brought upon them the judgments of the exile. But Father, you have given us your Word and not yet taken it from us, and we praise you for this and your mercy. We praise you for your grace and the means of grace by which you communicate yourself and the truths of this world, also the truths of the gospel and who we are before you, the Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. Father, now help us, for we are unable to hear with our ears. We are unable to see with our eyes the words on the page. We are unable of ourselves to understand or to benefit or to be blessed by your word without your Holy Spirit doing that work in us and strengthening us to this task of hearing your word read and preached. And so, Father, by your Spirit, help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see Jesus, your Son. And, Father, do pray for myself, as I am a weak and wretched instrument to be used. Father, use me still, that your word would go forth, and that we would not see me, but we would see Christ, your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's people, Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. These are God's words. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.'" And he said, "Verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Those are God's words. Beloved, we come today to celebrate our Lord and worship for the glorious good news of Jesus Christ has come into our ears. And many of us have believed unto salvation, have received Christ Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. And here in the passage before us, Jesus has just finished that temptation before the devil at the beginning of chapter 4, where he is led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and there by the devil tempted. And Jesus never sinned, for he was without sin. And there are at least three common things when we come, as we come to any Bible-believing, conservative, reformed church, even confessional church, that people often dislike. There's three things that people often dislike and attack regarding the truth of God's Word. Three things that if you look around our denomination, there'll be churches, there'll be elders, there'll be people, members, who reject and get angry concerning when these three things are preached or taught, even though it is in our standards. Some of you have experienced that as you've been members of such churches. What you find in such people, maybe you find it in yourself, is first the rejection of God creating all things out of nothing in the space of 6 literal days. Second, the rejecting of the second commandment concerning what we are to do in God's worship according to His command, namely in psalm singing. And then the third thing, and other things too. And then the third thing that conservative or confessional Christians get angry about comes because many reject the application of the fourth commandment, of what we do on this day, the day of rest, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. And that's where we start this morning as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. The first point this morning, angry at the Lord of the Sabbath. Angry at the Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees, Mark 2, the Pharisees were upset at the disciples and Jesus because the disciples were going through the edges of the fields and plucking the ears of grain, of corn, and they were doing so according to God's Word in Isaiah 58. But the Pharisees had their own man-made law on the Sabbath. They said, that's work! And you can't work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus responded, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That is, the Sabbath was made for man, for man's benefit, for man's blessing, for the good of man, and not man for the Sabbath, not man to be a slave as they were in Egypt. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, what He commands for it, that we must do. He's the Lord. And here in verse 15, what did Jesus our Lord and Savior do on the Sabbath day? Verse 15, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and, as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So here is Jesus, who has returned to His hometown where He grew up. Verse 16, we see it. He came to Nazareth, and Jesus is called Jesus of Nazareth. He came to His own people, His hometown. Notice the language of verse 16. It says, as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Beloved, it was our Savior's custom to be present in the public assemblies of worship, not at the temple. Temple, you remember, was in Jerusalem, and people around all of Israel came up once a year. Most people came up once a year. And the synagogues were throughout the land of Israel, like churches, and they came every Sabbath. And Jesus' custom was to be present upon the public assemblies and public worship every Sabbath. His custom. He was there every Sabbath. He did not neglect the public worship of God. He never broke the fourth commandment, did he? He was never not there on the Sabbath day. He had a commitment to it. Do you have a commitment to the Sabbath day? He had a commitment to it. Our perfect, righteous Lord and Savior kept the Sabbath day as a day of holy worship. It was never just a day of private worship, but it was a day of public worship. In the assembly, He gathered as His custom was, in the synagogue with the people of God on the Sabbath day. Public worship. If that was Jesus' commitment, and that commitment is righteous in every way, it's what God wants, it's what God has commanded, then how much more should we have that commitment of ourselves? Do you have a lifelong standing commitment, your custom to be here in public worship on the Lord's Day? Christ did. Are you not following after the Lord Jesus Christ in His way, to be righteous as He is righteous, holy as He is holy? What a wonderful thing it would be if the Lord looked down and could determine, and would determine, could say, this was her custom. This was His custom. To be in the assemblies of God's people, Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day. To be in a church. Do you not long with the psalmist in Psalm 84? How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yet even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even Thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in Thy house, they will be still praising Thee. For a day in Thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And on the Lord's Day, out there are the tents of wickedness. Whatever you're doing out there that's not focused on here are the tents of wickedness. Even the birds dwell there, He says in Psalm 84. And if the birds, how much more we? It says, blessed are they that dwell in Thy house. Dwell. They dwell there. They are known for being there. This is home. If we have a home on earth, this is the most home you can find. Blessed are they that dwell in Thy house. Blessed. If you want to be blessed, you have to be here. That's what God says. They will be still praising Thee. You want to preserve, be preserved. Perseverance of the saints. You want to be preserved, then you have to be here. Because if you are, you will still be praising Him on the day of affliction and on the day of trial. Do you want to be blessed? Then you have to come into the courts of the Lord in the public assemblies on the Lord's Day. Make it your custom. Make it your family's custom. Because it was our Savior's custom to be present in the public assemblies for public worship on the Sabbath day. And beloved, do you know what that means? It means it is our Savior's custom to be present on the Lord's Day in the public assemblies of His worship. It is present tense. Today, right now, every Lord's Day, when we gather morning and evening on the Lord's Day, Jesus is present with us. He comes and He is present with us to minister His grace unto us by His Holy Spirit. And that's why we call the elements of His worship the means of grace. Because He's come to minister to us His grace. He comes and speaks His word here. He comes and administers the sacraments here by His institution, as we'll celebrate this morning. And we note again that the Reformed position is that the Lord Jesus is really and spiritually present in our partaking of the Lord's Supper, the same as in worship. Hebrews teaches us. He comes with us and speaks His word. He sings His word with us. Something we've looked at before. That when we sing the Psalms, Jesus is singing with us. If we were to sing hymns or man-made songs, we would be merely singing about Him. But knowing the Psalms, we sing with Him. In prayer, He is uplifting us. He's here uplifting us by the Spirit's power, pleading with the Father, perfecting our prayers. Even here in worship as we gather together, morning and evening, Jesus' custom is to be present with us Lord's Day after Lord's Day in the public assemblies of His worship. Why does He come? Why does He come? He comes to cause us to glorify the Lord. Jesus is here morning and evening when we gather, beloved. And so where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? If Jesus is found here, why are you not here morning and evening? Isaiah 55 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." If there's anything that we've learned in evening worship, if you were here, you would know, in Amos, is that the Lord is not always to be found. The Lord is not always near. He removes Himself as judgment against His people who rebel against Him and commit idolatry and continue in that idolatry and do not repent when He continues to call unto them, showing mercy to them, and they still don't repent. He sends judgments to them, and they still don't repent. And so it says in Isaiah 55, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." The Lord Jesus is near today and may be found in the public assemblies of God's worship morning and evening. And where have you been? Where have you been? You try to explain it to me. What is so vitally important that you are not found here? What is so vitally important that you're not found here? That Jesus, your Savior and Lord, is here and you are not by your own choice. He who sacrificed His life for you, suffered in agony going to the cross for you, and you are not here when He, the resurrected Christ, is here? What's wrong with you? Do you not love, as your greatest love, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you not long for communion with Jesus Christ? Which of you who are married, knowing your spouse is present in one location, doesn't want to go and be with your spouse? And Jesus is our husband. And if you don't want to be there, do you not love your husband or wife? Well, here's your bridegroom. Jesus Christ, every Lord's Day, He is present during morning worship and evening worship. Not just morning worship, evening worship too. And do you say, well, once is enough? Some of you might say, well, once a month is okay to be with Him. But it's here where the blessings of the Lord are especially poured out upon His people. Poured out morning and evening. Blessing. Happiness. And you choose morning worship. Morning worship is sufficient. That's enough love and joy to have my spouse. Not really sure how to get you to grasp this if you don't already. What is more important than Jesus? If Jesus is not the most important, then are you a Christian? And then if you are a Christian, you say, yes, Jesus is important to me. I love Jesus. Then why aren't you in His worship when He's here, present with you, to bless you and to commune with you like His wife? What is more important than being with Him? Every time on the Sabbath day, you go through the drive-thru, you go to a restaurant, you go to entertain yourselves, watching TV, playing games, other recreations, when you do work around the house, other business activities on the Lord's Day, you're saying those things are more important to me than my Savior. When you don't show up to worship morning and or evening, when most of you don't show up in the evening for evening worship, you're saying that whatever you're doing at that time and those times is more important than being with my Savior and Lord. You're acting, if you're not here, you're acting like an atheist, unless you're like sick or somewhere else. Those things, those times are more important than being with my Savior and Lord. Because He's here. Where are you? Is some family activity or get-together more important than Jesus Christ? Is sleep more important than Jesus Christ? I'd give up all my sleep. I hope you would too, for the rest of my life, if I could be present with my Savior. Present with Jesus. To commune with Him. What is it that you are putting before being here with the Lord Jesus Christ in His holy worship morning and evening? Because Jesus is here. Jesus is present. Jesus' custom is to be here Lord's Day after Lord's Day, morning and evening. And you put that before congregations, and they get angry. They get upset because they don't like Jesus demanding of them His worship on His terms on His day. They get angry because they don't really want to commune with Jesus Christ. Angry at the Lord of the Sabbath. And all the Lord Jesus wants when He declares that He is present, He wants you to be here with Him. Like a husband longing to be with his wife. Song of Solomon. He wants to speak to you His word of deliverance. The Sabbath day is a day of freedom, deliverance. Not July 4th, the Sabbath is. Every first day of the week. Remember this, beloved. The Sabbath day is a day of freedom. When the Lord gave the fourth commandment, reminding Israel in Deuteronomy, He gave that what we should remember. And He said, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, a slave, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. The Lord brought you out of bondage and slavery to Egypt, and redeemed you. And so gave you the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, to remember it. And it's through Jesus Christ, your Savior, that you, Christian, have been redeemed out of slavery to sin, and you've been set free. There at the cross, you were set free. When He rose from the dead, given life, a life again. And that same freedom is offered freely to each and every one of you here today. You come to Christ, you receive Him for freedom from that bondage of sin. And we rebel. We don't want to be with Jesus. We want to go do other things. Those things much more important than being with Jesus, we think. And what have we done? You've ran right back to those sins that you were set free from. Do not rebel against the Lord who commands to you the Sabbath, for He is present and you should be too. And this goes into the second point, which is angry at the Lord's Word. Angry at the Lord's Word. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, that's Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus, carried by the Holy Spirit, he read God's Word there in the synagogue. He reads from the passage of the good news promised in the coming Messiah. And we've seen how over and over, as we've gone through the Gospels and the Scripture readings, over and over how the Lord fulfills, Jesus fulfills all those promises. For He is the Messiah. He came preaching the good news, the Gospel, the best news, beloved, to the poor and oppressed, to the poor in spirit, to those who are the most pathetic and in bondage to sin, every one of you here today. He came to you to preach His word of good news. Poor in relation to life, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Poor in relation to righteousness and holiness, you are unrighteous and, like everyone else, filled with the passions of the flesh. He came to preach to the poor so you could be rich in Him. You can be rich in Christ, beloved, if you turn from the world and its sins and believe on Christ for your salvation. He has sent me, he says, to heal the brokenhearted. Those crushed under the weight of their sin. Those who are broken by their wickedness before a holy God, he came to save. To preach deliverance to the captives. Those, again, in bondage. Captivated by ways of their father, the devil. In bondage to him. In the devil's prison, it is offered to you. Freedom from that prison. In and through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. You can be delivered. You can be redeemed out of it through Christ alone. Recovering the sight to the blind. Beloved, before you come in faith to Christ alone for your salvation, you're blind. Well, you say, but to be blind would be terrible. You couldn't see anything. You could not walk as well or as coordinated. There are increased dangers because of this. Absolutely. And yet you should know that it would be better off, far better off, for you to be blind physically, where you could not see with your physical eyes, than it would be to be blind and not see Jesus Christ. When you are dead in your sins, you are blind to Christ. You can't see Him, and no one and nothing can make you to have sight except His Holy Spirit. The Spirit who makes alive the heart and grants to you sight so you can see Jesus. It would be better to be blind physically than to never see Jesus, to never be free but in bondage. But Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised, it says. Jesus alone sets the bruised to freedom. Jesus is that bruised reed. It says in Isaiah 53, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Jesus bruised for you so you could be healed by the great physician, Jesus Himself, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, it goes on. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, in the Old Testament, Christ coming to sound the Jubilee trumpet. to sound the trumpet. Blessed are they that hear the joyful sound. For such is the time of your salvation. If you hear the joyful sound of that trumpet from Christ, it's that time of salvation. Psalm 89, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. Because those who have heard that sound and come to Christ are set free. That's what the year of Jubilee was all about, freedom. Verse 21, and Jesus expounded, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus proclaiming that He's the fulfillment of the promises. And so as the word is preached and the gospel is proclaimed and Jesus calls you to faith and holiness in Him, there are many times that you make excuses. You come to worship, you hear the sermon, you make excuses. Verse 22, like they did there. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. The gracious words. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Gracious words that Jesus preached. Gracious words, the means of grace poured out and offered to all who would turn unto Christ by faith. There they are, sitting under Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, who is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And they make an excuse because they don't want to hear those gracious words of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They make an excuse. Is not this Joseph's son? Right? They're trying to diminish His credibility, who He is. Diminish His standing before them. Here is Jesus, who is the promised and prophesied Messiah. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit at His baptism. He was taken by the Holy Spirit to be tempted and upheld by the Holy Spirit there. And this is the Son of God, the Messiah. And how often that occurs in the church when the Word of God, the Word of Jesus, the Son of God comes and we seek to diminish His authority, to diminish that Word and credibility. Well, He's only been ordained a year, right, the pastor. He's young and he's inexperienced and doesn't know the ways of the world and how life really is. And here in our passage, they say, is not this Joseph's son? It's the Son of God! Is this not Joseph's son? The simple, poor carpenter's son that we know? What could he say, right? Nothing he could say to convince them. Even Jesus. In verses 23 to 27, Jesus speaks to them about how He wasn't accepted there in Galilee and Nazareth, and reminds them of 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the prophet not accepted by Ahab the king at the time. When Jezebel was killing off the prophets. Elijah the prophet, when the Lord held off the rain for judgment for 3 years, there was a famine. And remember there, the widow, as we prayed, the widow and her son, she had only enough food for her and her son, one meal. And she said, then we'll die. And that's when Elijah came asking for some food to be provided. And the Lord, through Elijah, promised that if he was fed with it, that last meal for her and her son, if he was fed with it, that the Lord would bless and keep that widow and her son alive and provide food for them. But there was only one widow that Elijah went to, the one that the Lord called him to go to. Out of all the widows in Israel, he went to a Gentile. This widow was a Gentile. She was not of Israel. She was not of the church. In other words, if you reject Jesus Christ, He will leave you and go to others. He went to the widow. And she received Him. She listened to the word of the Lord and fed Elijah. He came to the Jews as He did here in the synagogue, and they rejected Him. They said, He's not the Son of God. He's a carpenter's son. He's not the Messiah. He's a blasphemer. Verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. Assyrian, cleansed. A Gentile. Why? Because the Jews rejected the Lord. The Jews rejected Jesus. Beloved, desire rather to have real physical leprosy than to not have Christ. Rather to be a physical leper than to be filled with the leprosy of sin. Rather to be starving in your body and starving than starving away from Christ forever. The Jews didn't want Him. Do you want Him? Today we reject Jesus by not showing up to evening worship at worship or worship at all. We reject Him that way. They rejected His Word. They came up with excuses not to listen. Well, that made me upset. I'm angry. That hit a little too close to home in that sermon. Yep, that's what people of the world and sinners do. They respond to God's Word with excuses. Is this not the carpenter's son? And they respond to God's Word with anger. Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Jesus reminding them of the prophets, what they did. His Word. And they were upset. And they rose up and they thrust Him out of the city and led Him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong, that they might kill Him, that is. But it wasn't His time. And so before this mob, He passing through the midst of them went His way. I don't remember how many times I've been yelled at after preaching the Word of God. Many times. I'll get a phone call. I'll be asked to step outside. I'll get yelled at. I'm not talking about you, Dave. You've never yelled at me. Twice yelled at right after the benediction was over. I was yelled at twice in front of everybody. Perhaps that's you in your heart when hearing God's Word. You want to be like that. How dare He preach that? You feel convicted in your heart after because of your sin. How dare He be speaking about me before all these people? Isn't it obvious? You think in your heart, isn't it obvious He's talking about me? Too many times people get upset at me because they think I'm speaking about them and their sin in public while preaching. And the truth is, most of the time I have no thought about what your sin is. I don't know all your sins. That's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit from His Word. That's Jesus preaching to you through a weak instrument and the Holy Spirit bringing conviction to your heart. And you are angry. But you aren't angry at me. You're angry at God's Word, at Jesus who is present with us, who has spoken, breathed out His Word unto you. You're no different in those moments than those who on this occasion gathered in the synagogue. We should feel joy hearing God's Word, no matter how hurtful it is at times. What a blessing as the great physician comes and performs surgery on us. It hurts. But afterwards it yields great blessing. But if you're one that finds yourself at times upset, angry, frustrated, making excuses at God's Word, that is for excuses. You say, well, the sermon didn't apply to me, maybe. You're really no different here. All Scripture is applicable to you. Every sermon is applicable to you. You're upset, you're angry, you're frustrated. Excuses are made. You are the Jews here from the synagogue. Verse 29. Rose up and thrust Him out of the city and led Him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong. To cast Jesus down the cliff so that He would die. That's you. That's me. And though it wasn't the time appointed by the Lord that He would die, at the proper time He was led to the cross by similar people who had made excuses and who were very upset because of the wrath of those hearers of Jesus. They made those excuses, they got upset, they were convicted, but they did not let that conviction do a good work in them by the Spirit. They excused it, for this was, they said, Jesus' problem. He's the blasphemer. This is the prophet's problem. And they killed the prophets. This was the preacher's problem. And they took him and hung him on the cross there to die with the cursed sinners next to him. Beloved, how do you respond to God's word if you do not believe in faith, trusting it as His word, no matter how convicting? You're angry at the Lord of the Sabbath, angry at His word proclaimed. It's our sin that put Christ there on the cross. Every time that thought comes in, well, I could be doing this instead of doing that, Lord's worship, being there at the Lord's worship where Jesus is every morning and evening on the Lord's day. Every time that thought comes in, I could be doing this. That sin put Christ on the cross. That thought. And through the cross, by His resurrection, Christ was granted a privilege to each of you here today to meet with Him personally. That's His grace poured out. To meet with Him. To commune with Him. Personally and spiritually in the gathering of God's people on this day. Twice, as He's commanded us in Scripture. Not just once, but twice. What a blessing. What a blessing to commune with Christ very intimately with God's people together every week. And His Word speaks to us boldly and graciously to bless us by His Spirit. What a blessing. And He holds the blessing before us. He held the blessing before the widow and her son before they died. Or she thought they were going to die. He holds the blessing before the widow and her son, and the widow and the son took it. Held it before the leper. Take that blessing, looking unto Christ. And he accepted it and was blessed. And the question for you is, will you forsake it? Or will you receive that blessing? Will you turn in wrath against Christ again? Or will you receive Christ and His blessing freely held before you today by His grace? Take it. Take that blessing. He offers it to you freely. Take it. Be here morning and evening on the Lord's day to hear Jesus speak to you and be present with Him. Oh, what a blessing that is. We not only here receive His Word, but Christ Himself. Intimate communion with Christ. Don't you want communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you desire after Christ? That's one of the questions we heard in preparation last Lord's Day. Don't you have a desire for Christ? What a blessing offered to you in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. We're thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who speaks to us, who is Lord of the Sabbath, who speaks Your Word unto our hearts by Your Spirit. We pray that it would penetrate, that Your Spirit would do that great work, and that we would not respond with excuses, that we would not respond in frustration or anger, but rather when we are convicted of our sin, that we would respond righteously with sorrow and grief, and yet joy in the cross of Jesus Christ. For that condemnation for those sins was placed upon Him alone. Fully and completely. The final sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And may it be, even of our children here, that they would receive Him. That each of us would take on the blessing offered to us freely, found in Christ alone, to be in His worship, to be here, and to be blessed as He speaks. That is His grace poured out. Father, in these things help us, and now prepare us as we come to Your table. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.